Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I want to read you the words to that song that they were just singing, the second verse, because it fits right in with what I want to talk about tonight. Maybe the Lord just ordained it that way, because what I'm preaching tonight, I would have preached this morning. Somebody said, you've got a new suit, and I said, yeah, and I wouldn't have worn it tonight, but I didn't get a chance to break it in, so I'm going to break it in tonight, and as warm as I feel right now, it won't take a whole lot of time to break it in. But verse 2 of this song says, I'll stand up and I'll dare to be different. Unashamed, I will try to live like thee. Just take my life and mold me the way you'd have me be. And that's what it is. It's not just the fact that we go to Calvary. It's not just the fact that we have a spiritual experience. But there is a change that takes place after Calvary. There is a commitment that takes place after Calvary. Amen. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Look down at verse 15 through 20. And then we'll look at chapter 31 right next door to that. I want to preach to you tonight just simply after Passover. After Passover. What takes place after Passover? How many of you understand that May the 18th is Pentecost Sunday? But can I tell you that there's something that needs to take place between Passover and Pentecost? There's something that needs to take place between your experience, a Passover experience, and a Pentecostal experience that needs to take place between those two. That something takes place after Passover. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 15. If you have it, can you say amen? Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. And the priests sprinkled the blood in which they had received of the hands of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. That's probably true over several churches across this country. There were many that were in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore, the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than was it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone, and that prepareth his heart to seek God, for the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. I don't know if you realize what's going on or not, but it's awesome, and I'll get to it in a minute. Now look over at chapter 31, and I want you to look at verse 1 there. Now when all this, there again, all this was finished, Passover is over with, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces and cut down the groves and throw down the high places and the altars out of all of Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and also in Manasseh, until they had what? They had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. Do you understand in the text I read to you tonight that bless God, after Passover, it wasn't just a spiritual experience and they forgot about it. No, they did some things that showed that they were evident of living for the Lord God Almighty, and it was all after Passover. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you will move in a mighty way. I pray, God, you will touch us and anoint us, Almighty God, in this place tonight. Help us to live for you. Help us to do your will. Help us, Almighty God, to do what you've called us to do, Lord God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the house said, amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Can you say amen? Y'all are too quiet on me tonight. That we love the Lord. How many of you understand tonight that the God did not put in the Bible the feast of Israel just so that they could be a story that was read just for some kind of good story or some kind of good sermon material or anything else that we would think of? That it wasn't just there just so that preachers could preach eloquent sermons on the Passover, and we could do what we did a few Wednesday nights ago about the Passover and all these other kind of feasts. But understand this, that these feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the other kinds of feasts of Israel that they celebrated, were representative of, in the believer's life, seasons that a believer goes through. In other words, if you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand that everybody goes through a Passover season. Everybody goes through a Passover season. If you don't believe me, you just try naming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John said he is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, took his royal blood and applied it to my life and applied it to the doorpost of my heart, so that when the death angel passes by, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Aren't you thankful tonight for the blood of the Lamb of God that was placed upon the doorpost of your heart? Hallelujah. And everybody, doesn't matter what kind of denominational background you are, I don't care again if you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, everybody that names the name of Jesus ought to go through a Pentecost. Everybody ought to go through a Pentecost season. Everybody ought to sound the alarm and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm on my holy mountain. And everybody ought to go through a Pentecost season where the fresh fruits are brought into the Lord Jesus Christ and he fills you with his glory. Everybody ought to go through a Pentecost. But how many of you understand that there are some things that took place, especially in this Passover that I read to you, in Hezekiah's Passover? There are some things that took place between Passover and Pentecost. How many of you understand that in your life, in your believer's life, the life that you live for Jesus, there are some things that take place between your Passover, your salvation, and between your Pentecost moment? We like to call it this. We like to call it sanctification. It's sanctification. That's what happens between your Passover and your Pentecost. I know we live in a day nowadays where folks try to get to Pentecost without going through sanctification. But can I tell you tonight, it's a process that must be taken into account, that we must go from Passover to sanctification to Pentecost. That it is a process that we must go through in this thing. Let's look for a moment, because I want to talk about Hezekiah's Passover. Then I just want to preach a little bit on the after effects, the after Passover in the events of the Lord. Watch this in Hezekiah's Passover, because this is so typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you will go back up and read in verse 9, it says, "For the Lord your God is gracious and he's merciful, and will not turn his face from you if you return unto him." I'm so thankful that when I knelt at an old-fashioned metal chair and gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I made him my Lord and my Savior, he didn't turn his face away from me. But bless God, he received me unto himself. that he receives us unto himself. Pay attention to what the text that I read to you tonight, because of the fact that here they are, and the priest had to offer the sacrifice. The priest had to offer the Passover lamb, because there were many in the congregation that what? They weren't sanctified. There were many in the congregation that weren't sanctified. In fact, they were not even supposed to eat of the Passover lamb because they were unclean. In other words, can I look at it like this? They slipped under the religious radar of the day, and they still ate the Passover lamb, even though they weren't. You remember how many of you were there Wednesday night when we did the Passover? The first thing you did when you came through the door is you had to get ceremonially clean. You had to wash your hands and get clean. But they weren't even clean, yet they did it anyway. They slipped under the religious radar and the religious protocol and the religious routine. Can I tell you, I thank God, because I didn't come in by religion. I didn't come in by religious routine, and I didn't come in by religious ordinance, and I didn't come in by religious kind of statutes or any kind of way. I didn't join a social club. I came into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Didn't join a religious institute. Bless God, I joined the religious, I joined the living organism of the Lord Jesus Christ, His body and His blood in my life. That I didn't enjoy. Can I tell you, Matthew was like that. Matthew was a tax collector. If you had to do taxes, and everybody does, until they finally come up with some rule that we don't. Matthew was a tax collector, and he was hated by all the Jewish folk. Probably hated by some of the Roman folk too. And here he is, and the Pharisees and the religious men would have said, he can't come in to our fold and our flock because he's a tax collector. But here Jesus is, and he goes to Matthew's house, sits down and has a dinner with Matthew, and they begin to accuse Jesus. Now listen to the accusation. Your master, he does eat with publicans and sinners. What a fault! He does eat with publicans and sinners. But Matthew came under the radar of the religious ordinance of that day because Jesus said it this way. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner unto repentance. The physician don't know, the sick don't, the well don't need a physician. Only the sick do. Bless God. Thank God Almighty. I wasn't right and I wasn't perfect. And I wasn't holy, but Christ Jesus made me holy. That He made me holy. We came in under the radar of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you'll have to forgive me, because if I don't do it like you do, can I tell you, the blood is still applied to my life. If I don't shout like you shout and run like you run and talk in tongues like you talk in tongues, I want to tell you, the blood is still applied to my life. I thank God tonight that the blood is still applied to our lives. And the reason why in this text that I gave to you, why they were able to get under the banner of Hezekiah's Passover, is because the book said that he prayed for them. I don't know if you realize it or not. I thank God for some godly mothers that prayed for the sons. Anybody had any? Thank God for some godly grandmothers that prayed for the grandchildren. Thank God for godly fathers that prayed for their sons and their daughters. Thank God for godly elders that prayed for the young folk to get them in to bless God. You need to understand that there was one greater than even all of these. And he was sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he was praying for you. Told Simon Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as the wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And the Bible says that the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and healed them. He healed their heart and their life. But please pay attention. As great as Hezekiah's Passover was, there were some things that took place after the Passover. There are some things that will take place after your spiritual experience with Jesus Christ that you need to understand tonight, that when you come into the fold, I didn't come just to get saved and just to sit on a pew somewhere and just live any way I want to live. No, the old man must be crucified and the old man must be dealt with, and I don't live like I used to live. I've changed addresses. I've moved away from those things of the world, and bless God, I'm walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Thank God for the things that happened after Passover. After Passover. Because watch this. Pay attention there again in verse 1 of chapter 31 when he talks about the fact. Here it is. When all is finished and all is said and done and all is through with Passover, they went in, all of Israel went in, and they got rid of everything that attached them to their old life. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They got rid of all of the idols and the Asherah poles and the altars that they had sacrificed unto the enemy and unto the false gods. They destroyed everything that connected them. Can I make this just a little personal tonight? Is that all right? That after Passover, after you got in Jesus Christ, you started going through your CD albums and you notice, well, that don't really glorify God. Got it? You don't hear what I'm saying? Yeah, I gotta go through. And yeah, that sounds good and it sounds twangy, but I gotta get rid of it because it doesn't glorify God. You may even have to, after Passover, you may have to go through your clothes and say, well, I gotta. I'm talking about something that gets you out of the church, and in case some comes home with you, there might be some movies on your shelf, and after Passover, you would say, wait a minute. Ooh, this is all right. That I gotta go through and say, nope, that one doesn't glorify God. That one doesn't glorify God. In fact, in my first pastorate, bless God, I started preaching on sanctification, and there was a young couple that had come to me. They brought a whole box of movies and wanted me to go through them, whether or not that they were. I'm like, hello. Can I tell you, but that's the thing that we ought to do, that this thing that I live in, that I serve, the God that I serve, causes me to examine my heart and my life, and it gets rid of everything that doesn't belong to Him. It gets rid of everything, because I don't know if you know it or not, but Sister Paulette, I'm on a glory road, and I'm on the straight and narrow path, and there's a few that will find that path, but bless God, if I get rid of the mess out of my life, I can see the path. I can see the path clearly. That after Passover, they begin to chop down the Asherah poles, and they begin to chop down the altars that were sacrificed unto Baal. And they said, no more. Now, you've got to understand something. Israel meant well at that time, but you do know later on that they fell again and again and again. But thank God they were riding on the blood of bulls and goats. But tonight I can shout with joy because I have the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God when He delivers me from something, Brother Anthony, I don't have to go through that same thing over again. For the Lord will not put on you any more than you should bear, but He will make a way of escape. Too many times we spend our efforts looking at the temptation, wondering how we're going to get around it. What we need to do is look at the way of escape that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for us that after Passover, you might have to clean out some things. Can I get narrow, real narrow? Because after Passover, don't tell nobody this, but after Passover, you may have to look at how you talk. And say, you know, I can't really use that word anymore. Because it's after Passover, and I've got to stay clean. You know, I can't really talk about Brian the way my flesh wants to talk about Brian, because it's after Passover and I've got to live according to his word. And the book said that you shall know that you're my disciples when you have one love one toward another. Every now and then we got to make sure of what we're saying and what we're doing and the way we act and the way we live. We better make sure that we're walking in the holiness of God. That we're walking in the right. I can point you to two examples. I'm going to give you two examples and I'm through. I'm going to give you these two examples. Number one, I want us to look at the first Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, there is the first Passover. The Passover lamb has been killed. The blood has been applied to the doorpost of the buildings. And when the death angel came by, the God passed over them. The death angel passed over them. And those that were underneath the blood, they were saved. They were rescued from the perils of the enemy and the death angel. But watch this. The next day. Do you know why? We talked about the matzo bread, and some of you thought that was the worst tasting stuff there ever was. But we talked about the matzo bread, and we talked about the fact that they had to bake it, and it did not rise because they were to make it, and they were to eat it with the staff in their hands, and the shoes on their feet, and the clothing on their backs, because in the same day, God would bring them out of Egypt after Passover. I want to tell you that they gathered up all the little ones and they gathered up all of the family and the livestock and they got out of Egypt. They left Egypt. They left out of that place. In fact, the Bible says they could not tarry in that place anymore. After Passover, after you've had an experience with God, you'll realize you can't tarry in that place that you used to live. That's the beauty of sanctification, is realizing that I don't live where I used to live anymore. I don't have the old man in my life. The old nature is dead. They had to get rid of the old mess out of their lives, that the old nature is dead, and I don't live where I used to live anymore. But as the old song says, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He brought me out of Egypt. And even when, watch this, because when you get brought out of Egypt, there's times when your flesh, Sister Gail, wants to go back. Oh, I got some super spiritual folk that don't believe that. Let me point you to the Bible reference. Because here they are. And here they are, and they've been brought out of Egypt. Passover is over with. And now they're standing in the wilderness at the Red Sea. And they look at Moses and say, were the graves, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you would bring us out here to die? Why don't you let us go back to Egypt and let us die and serve the Egyptians? But can I tell you what Moses said? Moses said, this day you will see them no more, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Even when all hell is breaking loose, you can still have deliverance. You can still have deliverance. I'm here to testify, Brother Anthony, as much as this thing hurts, it has not caused me to lose my salvation. As much as it hurts, now it may have caused my wife to lose her sanctification, but it ain't caused me to lose my sanctification. Y'all need to pray for her. Now she's put up, since Thursday, she's put up with something. I told them this morning in Sunday school, I don't need anybody's pity except for I only get pity from three people. Myself, my wife, and my mama. And I've mummocked them just as bad as this thing's been mummocking me, all right? So pray for her. But can I tell you, I ain't lost my sanctification over this thing. There are some things that when adversity hits people's lives, they'll lose everything. You wonder if they ever got saved. But Brother Orman, the beautiful thing about having the real thing inside of our life is you can go through what you're going. You can go through what you're going through and still know the God that you serve is alive and He's on the throne. And if I'll just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and if I never get a healing, and if I never get delivered, Jesus Christ has done enough for me just by saving my soul. That's what it is. It's that even in the adversity, and the time that we are in, and even in the things that we go through, we can still be sanctified. You can still go to Walmart and be sanctified. You can still go out in the midst of your jobs. I don't know if anybody has a difficult job or not. Now, I'm not around a whole lot of people that cuss and rant and rave. If I did, I'm in trouble. Because all of you need to be at the altar. But there are some of you folk that work on jobs where they cuss and rant and rave and carry on and all kinds of mess. But bless God, we can still keep our sanctification and still live a life of Jesus Christ. And who knows? And listen, you ain't got to say a whole lot either. Who knows if you keep your mouth shut and you live the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, what they might come up to you and they're cussing and carrying on and say, oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Please. Amen. This thing doesn't have to be talked out all the time. Live it out. That's what it's for. It's to be lived out before men. Second example, little girl, is the Passover that Jesus celebrated in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. This, the Passover that Jesus celebrated. I wonder just for a moment as He was breaking the matzah, I wonder if they realized that even though Jesus had said it, I wonder if they really realized that this was His body that was broken for them. I wonder as they partook of the four cups in Exodus chapter 6 where God says, I will deliver you out of their bondage and I will redeem you. I wonder if they realized that it was the blood of the Lamb that would deliver them. Not the blood of some animal, but the blood of Jesus Christ that would deliver them from their sin. I wonder as they broke the matzah, and that you remember Wednesday night when we broke the matzah and the papa of the family hid the matzah. I wonder in a linen napkin. I know we did Ziploc bags, but it was supposed to be in a linen napkin. I wonder if it ever dawned on them that this is Jesus that was wrapped in linen burial clothes and He was buried in the grave. But on the third day, the hidden matzah was revealed and Christ came out alive. I wonder if they realized what wonder and power their Redeemer was. But that was Passover. But there were some things that happened after Passover. Watch this. Number one, after Passover, after Jesus' Passover, everybody has to go through a Gethsemane. Everybody has to go through a Gethsemane. If you're not sanctified in here, or even if you have been sanctified and you're still wrestling with some things, everybody goes through a Gethsemane. Everybody go, because Gethsemane is where my will wrestles against the will of God. And Jesus was wrestling so much. It wasn't that He didn't want to, but can I tell you, if He's like me, and if He knew anything about pain, He didn't want to go through the pain. He was human. Didn't want to go through the pain and the suffering. But here He is, and He's wrestling with His will and God's will. And finally He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Everybody has a guess. Gethsemane experience in their sanctification because you wrestle with your will and God's will. But can I tell you, you will get the victory when you say, not my will, but God, yours be done. Everybody, just like Jesus in their sanctification experience, everybody goes through a trial. Jesus went through a trial where he stood before Herod and he stood before Pilate. This trial is your flesh, because your flesh comes up to you and says you can't live it. Your flesh comes up to you and says you can't live this life of sanctification. Amen. You can't live it. You ain't got enough power. You ain't got enough anointing. You can't live it. You're right. I ain't got enough power and I ain't got enough anointing. But I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me and to keep that which I've committed unto him. He went through a trial and your flesh is teasing you and picking on you. Everybody in their sanctification experience has to go through a Via Dolorosa. The Via Dolorosa was the path that Jesus walked down carrying his cross. Everybody has to walk down the path. Via Dolorosa meant the way of grief and of suffering. Everybody, when they're sanctified, has to walk down the way of grief and your suffering. Because I don't know if any... Can I talk to somebody real in here? I don't know if anybody knows or not, but I enjoyed my sin. I enjoyed my sin. I enjoyed living in sin. Now, I didn't do a whole lot, Brother Otis, but I still enjoy living in sin.
I did it that time. Thank you.
That's why I like you. You're real. And how many of you understand, even after you get saved, that old man wants to remind you, you know, you had more fun when you were doing that. But you gotta walk down a Via Dolorosa, a way of grief and of suffering, and you gotta walk down carrying your cross saying, Lord, I know I used to have fun doing that, but now I wanna serve you for all the days of my life, and I'm gonna carry my cross. Everybody who goes through sanctification not only goes through the Gethsemane and the trial and the Via Dolorosa, but everybody that goes through sanctification goes through a crucifixion. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. I go through a crucifixion. How many of you understand that crucifixion is death? It's not a band-aid. It's not a little wound. It's not a little puncture. It's death. That you take the old man that you were attached to and sin, and you kill him. See, the problem with a lot of folks and the reason why they don't get sanctified is because of the fact that they want to come to church on Sunday and they want to worship the Lord. But then on Monday, they want to get back over here and get buddy-buddy with the flesh. And what you need to do is on Sunday, take the flesh to the altar and kill him. And when you kill him, you won't be playing with him on Monday through Saturday. That you get. It's after Passover. That when you live for Christ, this might help you a little bit. Because in just the fact of living by faith, there ought to be some works that are developed after I receive Christ by faith. There ought to be a point where I take the old man to the altar and I kill him. And he doesn't get up, but that's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ that lives within me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I'm still in the skin. I ain't been glorified. If I'd have been glorified, my back wouldn't have pulled out. But can I tell you, I'm still in the skin. But Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith through the Son of God who redeemed me. That I live this thing by faith in Jesus Christ. There is a Passover, and there is a Pentecost. But bless God, there ought to be a sanctification in the midst before you can get, because the book said that God will not dwell in an unclean temple. And if you've got to go through the house and clean the house, you had better get it clean, because the Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean temple. I don't know what your brother might come to the piano. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. There might be some of you that need to look through your collection. There might be some of you that need to look through your music collection. There might be some of you that need to look at the way you talk. There might be some of you that need to look at the way you act or the way you treat one another. You might need to look at the level of your love and your mercy and your grace. And if you're struggling in any of those areas, you need to come and kill the old man. John Wesley put it this way, and I love John Wesley, founder of Wesleyan Church, the Methodist Church. John Wesley describes sanctification as this: perfect love. Perfect love. Now, I'm sorry you all thought there was going to be theological definition, but that's what John Wesley described sanctification as: perfect love. Because when my heart is cleansed, I have perfect love for God, and I have perfect love for you. Don't talk to me about sanctification and about holiness unless you can't love the person that you come to church with. Don't talk to me about sanctification and about holiness unless you can't love the people that you come to worship God with. Listen, I know there are a lot of strange looking people in this world. I'm going to Greenville tomorrow. I'll probably meet quite a few of them. But don't talk to me about sanctification and about holiness unless you can love the homosexual or the prostitute or the redhead or the purplehead or whatever they are. Don't talk to me about holiness until you can love and have a love built up in your heart and your life for one another. That is the essence. That's why Wesley called it perfect love. Amen. That's right. You don't love their ways. You don't love their ways. But there has to be a love of God that is built up in us to love the lost, to love each other, and to love the lost. Stand with me, please.